Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour. Chief White House propagandist circle back Jen Psaki defending Biden's violating his D.C. mask mandate this weekend at a posh Georgetown restaurant. But it's not just Jill and Joe Biden. And it's Congresswoman Tlaib, you know, spotted at a wedding dancing without her mask after criticizing, you know, senators for opposing mandates. And then saying that she only wears the mask because of Republican trackers being present. Okay, so there's a real health reason. The San Francisco mayor, same thing, filmed, photographed, not wearing a mask during an R&B concert. Washington, D.C. mayor, you know, drew scrutiny traveling from D.C. to Delaware to celebrate Biden's election win. And despite Delaware being classified as a high-risk state per the her city's mandates... whoopsie daisy. Then the same thing with Governor Whitmer, violating her own administration social distancing mask rules at a gathering of Michigan's health department after stating restaurants can only seat six people together and tables must be 6 feet apart. And then the Austin mayor, Steve Adler. Then, of course, we know all about Gavin Newsom. And we have L.A. County supervisors, same thing. San Jose mayor, same thing. Dianne Feinstein, same thing. Nancy Pelosi in the salon, same thing. Denver's mayor, same thing. Chicago mayor Lori Lightweight, you know, same thing with her, too. At a WNBA game. You know, this is Jen Psaki, chief propagandist, trying to spin out of this.
Jen, there is a mask requirement inside D.C. restaurants, yet President Biden and the First Lady were not wearing masks while walking around a D.C. restaurant on Saturday. Why?
Well, I think what we are referring to is a photo of them walking out of a restaurant after they had eaten, masks in hand, where they had not yet put them back on yet. So I would say, of course, there are moments when we all don't put masks back on as quickly as we should. But I don't think we should lose the forest through the trees here. And that our objective here is to get more people vaccinated, make sure that that schools and companies around the country can put in place requirements to save more lives and keep people safer. And, you know, not overly focus on moments in time that don't reflect overarching policy.
Oh, it was not just facing the restaurant, though. He was walking through the restaurant.
Okay. I just can't take it. All right. 800-941-SHAWN. We're going to take your calls for most of this hour. We'll also check in with Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana, who's going to discuss the effort he's making to regain control of people entering the U.S. from Afghanistan. Now that Joe Biden has declared that, well, if you're part of the Taliban's last administration 20 years ago, we're going to give you entry and we're going to give you a pass as it relates to the terror watch list in America. Wow. I guess they probably all had a change of heart, right? Anyway, let's say hi to James in Texas. James, you're on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, Sean. First, let me say I couldn't agree more, excuse me, with Aaron. I think that was one of your last callers. We greatly appreciate what you do every day. And so thank you.
Well, thank you. You give me the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, I guess my subject is the mandates, vaccine mandates. And one thing that I think is consistently overlooked or conveniently forgotten, I'm not sure which one, but vaccinated people can carry and spread COVID the same as an unvaccinated person. And so if these corporations that are implementing these vaccine mandates were truly concerned about the safety and well-being of their employees, then they would be testing everybody every day, regardless of vaccine status, if their motive was actually to curtail the spread of the virus.
Listen, they've gotten so much wrong, and they've been wrong so often. A lot of the hesitancy is created by them. You know, if they really believed in the mask mandate, we wouldn't have all these examples of all these, you know, pro-maskers, masks for thee, but not for we, I guess. I don't know. I mean, that in and of itself speaks volumes. Because if they really thought the mask worked, they would be wearing it. And they wouldn't wear it just Absolutely. For show. They would wear it because they believed in the science behind it. And the problem is that, you know, they've told people, well, you know, one mask, two masks, vaxxer mask, vax mask, and booster. And it just, the bar keeps changing every single solitary day. They can't get their story straight. What I'm trying to do, because I love my audience and love you, I don't have this show but for you, is we're trying to give you information and the best advice that I can give you as a non-medical professional. And people, that's a cop-out, Hannity. You need to tell people to do this, A, B, and C. And I'm like, no, I don't need to tell people. But I can tell you that you can die from this. Take it seriously. I can tell you that research is your friend. The more research you do, the smarter the questions you can ask of your doctor or doctors. Understand your medical history. Understand your current medical condition. Talk to your doctor, your doctors, medical professionals you trust. Get their opinions. You know, if you have a breakthrough case or you're unvaccinated and get a positive test, you know, the first question needs to go to your doctor. What do you know about monoclonal antibodies? What do you know about Regeneron? Is this something that would work for me? Should I get it earlier rather than later? If that's not the therapeutic of choice, what is your therapeutic of choice? Because I can tell you for the longest time, especially in New York, their answer was, yeah, you got COVID, go home, call anybody you may have been in contact with. If you get a fever, take 2 Tylenol, extra strength Tylenol. And if your oxygen drops to 90 or below, then you probably should go to the emergency room. The problem with that strategy is lungs usually got hit somewhere between days 7 and 11. And by the time your oxygen drops, the damage is done. And then it's a matter of how much damage. And now it's a matter of whether or not you're going to need a ventilator. And if you need a ventilator, your odds, even today, it's gotten a lot better. It's like 35%, 40% max. Where in the beginning, in the first year of COVID, your odds were 12% if you ended up on those ventilators. So it's not the best option. The best option, according to all the doctors from Harvard that we've interviewed, doctors from Yale that we interviewed, doctors that are on the front lines that we've interviewed, every one of them are very, very pro monoclonal antibodies without exception. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to be informed and ask your doctor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't want anyone sick and dying from this. Linda, how much of my spare time have I spent because people know that we cover this, but that's all they know. They don't know everything that we know. The people call, well, yeah, and say, what were you talking about that one day? And I'm like, did you get a positive test?
We've had people in the Senate, people in the Congress. We've had people in, you know, executives.
Governors.
I mean, the problem is, Sean, is that there's so much misinformation out there. And so we're giving a lot of good information out. But, you know, these are names that people don't know, you know, monoclonal, Regeneron, you know, taking different, you know, zinc, D, quercetin, etc. You know, these are all things you can do to boost your immune system.
I thought it was called quercetin.
You know, quercetin, you know. Listen, tomato, tomato.
But if you get a positive test, to me, the first question, you got to act immediately. And you got to get in touch with your doctor immediately. And you got and the reason I repeat monoclonal antibodies or Regeneron, and Linda's correct. There are people that have had breakthrough cases that I know. And I said, have you talked to your doctor about Regeneron? That's why, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling them what to do. Have you? And they said, they'll go to me. Well, what is that again? At the end of the day, I still believe in freedom. At the end of the day, I believe in medical privacy. At the end of the day, I believe in patient-doctor confidentiality. But at the end of the day, I cannot emphasize enough. I believe in science, and I believe in vaccination science. As a kid, I don't remember getting vaccinated for polio and measles and all this other stuff. But
listen, my whole life, I never got a flu vaccine. I've never had it in my entire life.
You yelled at me every year of my life for getting it.
Right. I have strong opinions on that. However, what I will tell you is I have friends that have gotten it every single year their entire life.
And hey, listen, half my friends agree with me on this and half my friends disagree.
But it's not something that should be agreed or not agreed. There are things that can help us get over the virus, like Regeneron, like monoclonal, like other medicines that we can use that can be issued by a physician that knows our personal, you know, chemical makeup, physical makeup, previous medical history, etc. So these are conversations we should have with them. Any government that says you're not allowed to have a conversation and you're not allowed to ask questions, we should run to the hills. Why are we not allowed to ask questions about our bodies?
They get offended at questions that they don't like.
You can't ask questions. Why? Why can't you ask a question?
You know, I love these idiots too, that late night idiot, I don't even know the guy's name, you know, saying Hannity is telling you to do your own research, and they put up a picture of me in a white lab coat. I'm like, are you really that dumb?
Listen, he can't spell research, so who cares what he thinks? You know,
well, it's and fake news, CNN, they made the same as Hannity says, do your own research. Okay, let me be very clear. By saying do your own research, I'm not saying starting your own virology lab and putting on a lab coat and breaking down the sequence of the coronavirus and looking at the various genomes and whether or not there's possible gain of function involved in it. No, I'm talking about learn something about what the mRNA vaccine technology is all about. Robert Malone, Dr. Malone, has been on this program. He created the technology that enabled the creation of those two vaccines. He's somebody I find very interesting. You know, we put doctors on that I don't even necessarily agree with. Doesn't matter.
But can I tell you something about Dr. Malone, having talked to him and booked him for the show? And
I
talked to him. He's a lovely man. Super, super nice kind. Guy. Really nice, you know. But he's being censored, and he's like, I created this. You can't tell me what it is and isn't. This is literally my technology. Like, I can't even imagine somebody saying, nope, you can't talk about that.
Because I think people got mad because he pointed to the Israeli study. Now, it's not peer-reviewed, but the numbers are very, very dramatic. And that is that almost 800,000 people, and they compare people with natural immunity with people that used his technology, he created it to create the Pfizer Moderna vaccines. It was the mRNA vaccine. And he says natural immunity was 27 times more effective, according to the study in Israel, which I'm sure will be peer reviewed. There might be some adjustments to it, but anecdotally right now, wow, that pops off the page when you look at a study of 800,000 people.
And you have to remember, too, we have a lot of information that's coming out, you know, from the VAERS division of the CDC website, which talks about the adverse reactions to vaccines. And there's a lot of question about what is and what is not being documented.
The problem with the VAERS thing, though, is that these are people that write and put up their own personal cases, right?
Well, no, there's a combination. There are people that can talk about things, but every hospital, every single doctor is supposed to document and submit adverse reactions to the vaccines that they see. So what they're doing is they're saying certain things within a certain amount of days. So if it happens within 7 days, they don't report it.
Listen, I'm for reading everything, because even if it's what you're describing is somewhat anecdotal. But, you know, remember what Dr. Oz said in the beginning of this whole thing. Anecdotal is all we had.
Right. 100%.
And you fight with the army you have, not the army you wish you had. In the beginning, we had nothing. And so Dr. Oz was spending hours. The reason I became friendly with him is he was the only other person dumb enough to be up at 3 a.m. And and the reason he's up so late is he's talking to all these doctors in France and all throughout Europe and Italy. And he's trying to ask every one of them what's working. Where do you see anecdotally any medicine working? And at the time, he was so a pretty strong proponent of HCQ. There's since have been studies now that have come out showing taking HCQ early, hydroxychloroquine, you know, mitigates the impact of the virus 84% of the time. It has to be taken almost immediately, though, for it to, you know, longer you wait. By the way, and that's the same thing with monoclonal antibodies.
But Dr. Tyson and Dr. Fareed, who have been on this show, Dr. Harvey Rich, who have been on the show, Dr. Peter McCullough, who have been on the show, they have all been saying
Dr.
that
Fareed,
from the beginning.
Dr. Fareed, who graduated from Harvard Medical School.
Yeah, that's
Dr.
Yale,
Rich, that
Baylor,
graduated from Yale Medical
Harvard,
School. Okay,
yeah.
Those guys. Yeah.
These are all people who have spent their life. And let me tell you something. Between Dr. Brian Tyson and Dr. George Fareed, they've treated over 10,000 COVID patients. Now they're treating people that are having vaccine reactions, whether it's myocardial, whether they're having severe headaches, whether they're having stiffness of joints, whether they're unable to have their vascular issues, whether they have palsy in a foot here. I mean, there are a lot of strange things happening, and a lot of these symptoms can be mitigated, but now that's the thing they're working on now. So the fight hasn't stopped.
This is going to be, I don't know how many more variants we'll run into. It seemed like Lambda was going to be a big variant. It is yet to emerge as one. It seemed like, remember, for a few weeks, that Mu variant was going to be a big one. Then the one they were most worried about was the R.1 variant or R1 variant. I don't know how they pronounced it. And that variant all of a sudden just disappears from any publication. You don't hear about it anymore. And that the big breakthrough variant was definitely the Delta variant. And, you know, and we did learn a few things that people that were vaccinated, for example, were far less likely to be hospitalized and far less likely to die. That's great. I'm worried about variant number 5.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick break. Welcome back. More of your calls. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program? Well, get a quick update from Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana. When we get back, as it relates to the vetting process of people from Afghanistan and more as we continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, we have a couple of developments out of Afghanistan. It's now day 66 of Americans abandoned behind enemy lines by Joe Biden. Americans, their families, thousands of green card holders that are eligible to live in this country. and of course our Afghan allies, tens of thousands of them, as the Taliban now going door to door and murdering anybody they discover that had helped the United States in the last 20 years. Now, we have a couple of developments. Number one, we have a terror watch list, and on that watch list were old regime members, meaning the previous incarnation of the Taliban in the now Islamic Emirates of Afghanistan. They're now going to be taken off the watch list and allowed to travel to the United States. Now, did their views change? I doubt it. Because you really don't go from convert or die and treating women the way they treat women and girls the way they treat girls, and their barbaric, you know, theocracy as practiced by the most brutal tactics and inhumanity that you could ever imagine, to all of a sudden wanting to be a part of Western society. That doesn't happen. So that's issue number one. Anyway, Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana is with us, and he's making an effort to gain control over the people that are entering the U.S. from Afghanistan. In other words, putting in place a vetting process, that one that would be restructured by Congress and take it away from the Department of Homeland Security. We all know how horrific Mayorkas is. Anyway, Congressman, you've read, as I have, that members of the past Taliban regime are going to be taken off the terror watch list and allowed to travel to the U.S.?
Sean, thanks for having me on today. You know, we've got nearly 40,000 refugees that are currently located around the country on military bases, and they were granted, most of them, humanitarian parolee status, which basically means they were not vetted at all. And very few people realize that while they are staying on those military bases now, they are free to leave, come and go as they choose. It just so happens that they're, you know, they've got a cot, and they've got food to eat, and so it's very convenient for them to stay there. But we have absolutely got to clean this refugee issue up, and really, it's not complicated. Congress just needs to reclaim its authority over a lot of these things. And so what this piece of legislation will do is allow Congress to set the number of refugees that will be admitted into the country on an annual basis. Additionally, it's going to return federalism to the states and make sure that the governors have the final say about who's going to be placed in their state. And then we're going to require Homeland Security, Director of FBI, to report to Congress their vetting process and make sure that anyone who comes in does not pose a national threat. And as part of that, I think this is really important, Sean. We're not going to just demand that they check to make sure that these folks have not created any crimes. They don't have a criminal background. But this vetting would include a new screening process established to evaluate whether these individuals would likely assimilate into our country by barring those who hold beliefs incompatible with the principles of America, including imposing laws on Americans which are adverse to our Constitution or belief in violence, which you were just talking about, based on radical religious teaching. You know, this is where we have to be. Congress has to reclaim its authority. Governors have to have the final say. We need to know who's coming into our country and where they're going to be located once they come here.
Do you think there's any possibility if you bought into and were indoctrinated into radicalism, radical Islamism, like the Taliban, as practiced by the Taliban in power 20 years ago, do you see any reason at all that would warrant taking people that were part of that brutal murdering regime off the terror watch list?
Why would you? All they have to do, we've heard it time and again, they can send as many people through that are perfectly fine, which, coming from a radical regime like that, I don't see happening anyway. But if we've got one person that comes through that still embraces those beliefs, they can cause a lot of chaos around our country. Why would we want to do that? The first thing we are charged with is upholding the Constitution, defending the Constitution. But we certainly have to protect the people in our country. And that is not the way that we're going to accomplish that, by allowing people to come into our country that we don't know who they are. And again, keep this in mind. By granting parolee status to all of these individuals, clearly it states we don't know who they are. They have not been vetted. We don't know anything about them, Sean.
I'm all in favor of legal immigration, but I think there have to be three conditions. One, we have to check that you don't have radical views and associations. Two, in the era of COVID and a pandemic, I think you need a health check. Three, I think it's a very simple, fair thing to mandate that people show that they have the means to take care of themselves and will not become a financial burden on the American people. Now, if you go through the process legally and you pass those three tests, if you will, then I say, I don't care where you come from. I don't care what continent you come from or what country you come from. Welcome to America. But
welcome,
we have
to
control our borders. That's how you control them.
Yeah, and because if you don't do conduct a process like that, Sean, then America just becomes a geographic location. And anyone who happens to be within that location is granted the same privileges as the citizens who were born and raised here. And that's not what we are. Our country is more than just a geographic location. It is an idea. It is about freedom. We have lifted more people out of poverty and oppression than any country on earth and asked for nothing in return. And so we have to make sure that the people that come to join us here share those same ideals so that we can perpetuate this for generations to come. If not, it falls apart. And not only does our country suffer, but other countries around the globe will suffer because we are.
Well, the danger to me is very simple. You know, we did have a 9/11 report that said they were at war with us. We weren't at war with them. You know, you're inviting some, by not vetting people, you risk bringing in radicals that don't have our best intentions at heart. And then after whatever attack they might be involved in, which could be their motive and may very well be their motive, then we're going to have another 9/11 style commission report that's going to say this was really dumb. You can see it ahead of time.
Idea.
We're now putting the lives of Americans at risk. And there are simple checks and balances we can put in place and still keep a system of legal immigration in place where we invite people to join our family here in America. Appreciate it, Congressman. Stay in touch with us, Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana. Let's say hi to Stacy Joe is in West Virginia. Hey, Stacy Joe, how are you? How are you feeling about Manchin these days?
Well, I think that he's a fence rider and he likes all the attention he can get. Thanks for having me.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Absolutely.
What's on your mind today?
Okay, so I've been trying to call for a while now, and I hear you talk a lot, and I'll let your guests talk about this, the vaccinations and mandates and, you know, the government and their overreach. And so we locally, we have medical freedom rallies weekly at different hospitals in our area, or we go to the state capitol in Charleston because they are actually voting on mandates today. And it's just, I feel like personally it's become a battle and discrimination, honestly, between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And I think that there's so much division in this country right now that that is the absolute last thing that they need.
Well, it's definitely fashionable to say if you don't buy their one-size-fits-all medicine, you know, they want to attack you at a level that I've never seen before. And yet mm-hmm. we know nothing about the reasons why. Even medical conditions, some rare, that prohibit people from getting a vaccination, or the fact that people really are looking at the science of natural immunity. It doesn't really matter, because what I've learned, what I'm seeing, is people that have made up their mind and are willing to give up their pensions and lose their pensions, you're not going to convince those people. They've decided.
Right.
And I thought the whole idea behind getting a vaccination, they told us, was to protect ourselves, right? And if I can't for the life of me wrap my arms around losing thousands of military personnel, thousands of police officers, thousands of teachers, thousands of nurses and frontline medical workers all of whom dove on COVID grenades every day during the worst of all of this, and not at least give them an option of a test or something. I'm trying to throw them a lifeline so they don't have to lose their career over this.
Our local hospitals here are putting a mandate into effect that if you don't have the vaccine, many of them are, some of them have just recently passed, but by November the 1st, if you don't have the vaccine or are willing to take the test twice weekly, then your job is lost. But the, one of the arguments here that we're fighting is that the test, the PCR test that is the nasal swab, contains ethyl oxide, which is a known carcinogen. So if they're mandating that people do this twice weekly, at what point is somebody going to succumb to
that's something that I had not heard. I'll look into that. But I know they're working on new tests as we speak. Anyway, Stacey, Joe, appreciate it. Christian, in Illinois, we have a minute and a half for you, sir.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm calling also about the vaccine mandates. I work for the Bureau of Prisons. And
are you a prison guard?
Yes.
My mom was a prison guard. It's a brutal job. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
She was a tough lady then. We are also federal workers. We are mandated to get the vaccine. We are also experiencing a vast employee shortage, you know, bureau-wide. Before, you know, they have threatened to fire, you know, a bunch of us. So I just wanted to call and mention.
Well, what's going
to
happen if thousands of, if half or a third of the police department in Chicago is now kicked off the force? If we lose thousands of people like yourself that control these prisons, which, by the way, usually are understaffed to begin with. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
No, my mom works 16-hour shifts almost every day. How much overtime do you get offered? Probably almost every day, right?
Oh, I could work 16 hours pretty much every day if I wanted to.
Yeah, my mom pretty much did. And
yep. And
now you're going to take understaffing at prisons and make it a more dangerous environment than it already is.
Right.
I mean, this is a bad idea. Teachers,
well, they're all,
cops,
they're
firemen,
already,
military. We're going to lose all nurses. We're going to lose them all.
Yep.
And people
already,
like yourself.
They're already picketing out in Florence, Colorado, out at that complex out there because they're, I don't know, something like 60% understaffed. You know, they're picketing. You know, we can't strike.
Let me ask you a question. You've made up your mind not to get the vaccine, correct?
No, I have gotten the vaccine.
Okay, so you're worried about all these people that you work with that are not going to be able to show up at work anymore.
Correct. I got the vaccine. I am staunchly anti-vaccine mandate, however.
So what the people that you meet that say that they're not going to get the vaccine, what are the reasons they're giving you? Because I ask a lot of people why. And usually I get a pretty informed answer.
The reasons I'm getting are... They don't want to. They don't believe in it. There's lots of them going after the religious exemptions. Some people have had very adverse reactions to the first shot, and have been advised not to get the second shot. So they're going for the medical exemption.
Well, I'm just out of time, but I'm going to tell you, this is not going to end well. Anyway, thanks for the great work you do every day. I appreciate you being there. That's a hard job, my friend. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. All right, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We'll be joined by Mike Pompeo, Larry Kudlow, Leo 2.0 Terrell, Joe Concha. Oh, Meghan McCain is speaking out against her experience at The View. We'll get some insider information. Mark Meadows, Stu and Kathy Scheller, Ted Cruz, Pam Bondi, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Fox. We'll see you then. Please set your DVR so you never miss an episode. Back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us. We know you give us this microphone every day. We never forget it. Thank you.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.